One element of the new federal welfare law allows states to require drug testing of anybody who applies for public assistance. Such screening is being considered by both Maryland and New York State. Civil libertarians say it is unconstitutional to conduct drug testing based only on whether somebody signs up for welfare. In New York, advocates for the poor fear the state won't be able to provide enough treatment programs for welfare applicants who do test positive for drug use. Beth Furtick from member station WNYC has a report.
There are people Denise says she'll never forget.
All new teachers.
Here in her one-room apartment in Bedford-Stuyvesant, the tall, 32-year-old woman who prefers to go by her middle name is looking over a photo album of the friends and counselors she met in a drug treatment program.
That was my counselor. That's my best friend, Gladys.
Denise completed the program this fall and says she's been drug-free for more than 10 months, the longest she can ever recall. She says she started using drugs when she was a teenager and was addicted to crack for more than 8 years. She's now HIV positive. Denise says she tried to quit drugs many, many times, but she was never serious until she got a letter from the city threatening to cut off her $500 a month in welfare benefits unless she entered a drug rehabilitation program. At first, she felt confused.
I was tired of selling my body. I knew I had this virus. I was just tired, and I didn't know what to do, and I wanted to get over, and I still wanted to get high, and then I didn't want to get high. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but when that last letter came, and I was like, damn. You know, I used to talk to myself a lot, and I said, Denise, you know, you're going on 32 years old, and you need to get your life together.
That story is precisely what architects of Governor George Pataki's welfare reform plan want to hear. Currently, childless adults who are suspected of having drug or alcohol problems can have their benefits suspended unless they get treatment. But Pataki wants to extend these sanctions to welfare recipients with children. And for the first time, every applicant would have to get a drug test. Those who show up positive for drug use would lose their cash benefits, and so would their children. However, they would be eligible for new safety net vouchers, which could be used directly for rent, clothing, and food.
What we're looking to do is to help people move off welfare and into the workforce.
John Signer is a spokesman for Governor Pataki's budget office.
If it's needed to take their cash away so they can't go out and buy drugs that they're dependent on and that makes them unemployable, then that's what we'll have to do. We're still going to supply the benefits. The safety net has no time limits. And with the drug treatment, hopefully they can become clean. They could reapply for the cash benefits.
Cities and towns would use block grants to devise their own testing systems. They would decide if they want to suspend the vouchers for recipients who don't get treatment. Across the country, drug testing is increasingly being seen as a tool to combat welfare abuse. The new federal law allows states to conduct drug testing. Ohio, South Carolina, and some counties in Florida are already devising their own systems. The American Civil Liberties Union objects to widespread drug testing as an unconstitutional invasion of individual rights based merely on applying for welfare. The New York chapter is already threatening litigation. Meanwhile, as drug screening is considered here, advocates for the poor are more worried about its feasibility in a state with 1.4 million people on public assistance, most of them in New York City. For one thing, they worry the food and clothing vouchers won't go far enough. And according to the Legal Action Center, a nonprofit law firm that specializes in substance abuse issues, reliable urine tests can cost up to $100 per person, which is why policy analyst Rob Cowie says the governor's plan is misguided.
The tremendous resources that counties will be required to spend on drug testing will take away from their ability to provide benefits to poor people and also to provide adequate treatment.
The Pataki plan requires every welfare applicant who tests positive for drug use to be referred to treatment programs as available. But while the state would add funds for child care and job training, there's no extra money for drug treatment. State-funded facilities have limited space, and Cowie points to studies showing there might be 9 times more people on public assistance who could use these programs than are now enrolled in them.
Currently, 3% of public assistance eligibles in New York City receive treatment. However, data from around the country indicates that anywhere from 28% to 11% of public assistance recipients have drug or alcohol problems. And again, if the governor's proposal is to succeed in its goals of reducing dependency and returning people to work, better emphasis would be on ensuring the availability of treatment.
There are also questions about whether sanctions really are an effective tool in stopping drug abuse, given the powerful psychology of addiction.
Oh no, they didn't have none of the medicine, I think. Remember, ask Anna.
Here at the Melrose on Track Clinic in the South Bronx, run by the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, heroin addicts come in each day for counseling and methadone, which is served up in fluorescent orange liquid at the pharmacy counter. More than half the clients here are on public assistance. Many take months or years to get off drugs, which is why Vocational Services Coordinator Christiane Downey doesn't think the proposed new sanctions will work for everyone.
There are lots of things in people's lives that lead them to use drugs, and forcing them to stop by cutting off their benefits doesn't solve all those problems. Those problems still exist.
Carl, a Vietnam veteran who's been recovering from heroin addiction for 2 years, agrees. He believes cutting off cash benefits and replacing them with vouchers for food and shelter won't stop addicts from buying drugs unless they're ready.
It's a process, you know. It was a process for me. If I want to be an addict and remain an addict, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, an active addict, then I will be an active addict. And I'll get my drugs by hook or crook. I mean, there's always a way. I just see more crimes being committed.
What color you think I should do this, Pedro?
El que es eso, negro y orange.
Or black and orange?
But here in the Melrose Clinic's art room, where addicts spend their afternoon sketching, 22-year-old Jeanette Iguiri thinks it's only fair to cut off cash for drug abusers because it's taxpayer money. After years of heroin addiction, knowing she could lose her benefits has her committed to finishing treatment.
Yeah, I'm scared because I have a baby I got to support. And my son is also asthmatic. My mother's dead, my father's dead. I don't have any family. So I do need the state's help. So if it takes to a point that I have to say no to drugs, I would do it. I actually would do it. I would take the state serious.
And that's why proponents of welfare reform say radical changes are needed. Budget spokesman John Signer says emergency aid would still be available, but the whole thrust of welfare reform, from drug testing to work requirements, is to provide enough incentives to force people to change their behavior.
We're concerned about getting people off the welfare rolls, out of the web of dependency that has kept them down for so long, and into the workforce so they can get some self-sufficiency, some personal responsibility, and get their dignity back, because the current system has taken that away.
As legislators consider these changes to the welfare system, advocates for the poor hope the state is serious enough about helping substance abusers to ensure that counties fund more drug treatment centers. Otherwise, New York may reduce its welfare rolls merely by sending addicts back on the streets. For National Public Radio, I'm Beth Fertig in New York.